Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live weekly prophecy reality worldview edition. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, what's in the news today? Well, before we jump into it, let's see, I have a scripture here. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye the Lord forever, for in him the Lord Yahuwah is everlasting strength. And these are the days that we need to trust in the Lord with all we have, and he will keep us in perfect peace. And I'll tell you, it's frightful when I look at the headlines and I see what's going on in the world and I see how quickly things are changing. It is frightening, I have to admit. But still, he keeps me in perfect peace. Okay, let's get into it. The news. What we have here. Headlines. Biden's disastrous European tour. You know, when I hear this man speak, which I'm sick of hearing him because he's been speaking a lot lately, you can see that he's carrying out the Antichrist agenda to the T. Everything he's doing is all destruction, and especially destruction toward America. The Antichrist has hated America ever since its founding, and he has tried everything he can to take it down. And boy, if you listen to that last broadcast of the hour before, Tom Fress was really laying into it and into how the protest is over in America. Yeah, by and large, it is over. For most of the people don't even know, especially those evangelicals out there, don't even know what what Protestant means. That it means a witness. The protest is a witness, and it is a witness against evil, a witness against the Antichrist. And we are small, yeah, but we will trust in the Lord, and he will keep us in perfect peace, those of us who love his truth. Let's see, more headlines here. Deeply compromised Biden is driving the West toward a nuclear war with Russia. More of the agenda of the Antichrist. I like this one. Got gold or rubles? Russia just broke the back of the West. The Antichrist is deep into Russia too. The leader of the Russia over there, he may be a little more rebellious against the God of this world, but the God of this world knows how to keep his in line. And, this is just part of what's going on here. The God of this world, the Antichrist, has to work very hard to keep all these rebellious people in line, because, you know, if your main charge is rebellious people, well, they're going to rebel against you sooner or later. And we see that, you know, explicitly in the scripture, where in the time between now and the return of Christ, where the 10 divisions of Europe, of Western Europe, the old world, are going to turn on the whore that rides the beast and destroy her with fire. Looking forward to that event, I just pray that God will protect all his people, as he has throughout history. He even protects people in martyrdom. That's how much we have to trust him. And that's the kind of perfect peace he could keep us in, to even go through the death of our own flesh at the hands of evil. And the fact is, that's a more glorious death than just dying an old man in your bed. because the fact is, you're going to die anyway. So, rather that it was glorious, but we'll accept whatever the Lord has for us individually. Let's see. What is to be done? Is the draft being reinstated in the U.S.? Here is a tweet that suggested, I think we might want to take a look at this one, because they will be drafting women too. Because, you know, I believe the Antichrist wants to kill as many people as possible, especially those rebellious Americans and rebellious Catholics also. Yeah. Yeah, kill them all, Protestant or Catholic or pagan, whatever. He doesn't care. Yeah. Okay, let me take a look at this article here and what they had to say about this. We've been covering the war in Ukraine. The organic prepper told you it was coming before it started. Now it is here, and all signs seem to indicate that this thing is only going to expand aggressively. Belarus and Moldova seem to be the next likely hotspots in Europe. And we now have it at least, we have at least 100,000 American troops in Europe. It was widely touted as fake news when preppers began to talk about the serious threat of food shortages after 2020. Well, the same has been said for those who discussed the very real threat of hyperinflation after Nixon took the United States off the gold standard. In both circumstances, it seems as if we finally reached the culmination of all the warnings. And he goes on, chaos is here. Now adding fuel to the fire, in a recent tweet by the Selective Service, you can see it below, and here's the tweet. In the event of a draft, our agency would partner with FEMA to provide opportunities to conscientious objectors to ensure our nation keeps moving forward. Learn more about alternative service at sss.gov/conscientious. So will you be a conscientious objector to serving in the Antichrist United Nations war on humanity? Yeah, that's the question. For Christians, it is. Yes, if you're not walking in ignorance, but it seems that even a lot of Christians are walking in ignorance at this time. So there it is. Get your conscientious objection in order before you get drafted. Well, I have to say, I think I'm beyond the draft, since I will be I will hit my 70 in 2023. That's next year. They don't draft old men, do they? The tweet says, in the event of a draft, our agency would partner with FEMA. Yeah, I just read that. Does this not seem to be a suspicious timing to anybody else? Yes, well, they're beating the war drums very heavily, very hard, and profusely in the press. So a draft may be imminent once they start World War III. Believe me, they want to start it. And guess what you'll get? Well, we're not going to talk about the transhuman jab today. We just got back on YouTube this week, but I'm working on it, getting over to Rumble. Because I think I can embed my broadcast on Rumble before the broadcast, so that, yeah. Anyway, tech talk. On with it. Suspicious timing to anybody else. Here we're getting dragged into a war that we provoked. And, you know, I don't have a mouse in my pocket, so I don't say we provoked. The Antichrist provoked through his domain over there. Washington, D.C. is not a 51st state, but it is a state. It is a separate state from the other 50. It is a state of its own. It is a city-state. It is one of the city-states that rules the world, which the Antichrist uses to rule the world. I call it the unholy trinity that rules the world. And yes, they will call for forced volunteership They will force you to volunteer. Now, I have to admit, I came up in a generation because I turned 19 the same year that they ended the draft for Vietnam. Yeah. I did not want to go. And because I was orphaned and grew up in institutions. So I had an institutional childhood. I was adopted by God at 19, and then the draft ended. Okay. Yeah. The Almighty adopted me. He offered me the adoption. I had no choice but to say yes, because it was foreordained from the foundation of the world. Praise God. That's all I could say. I could take no credit for my salvation whatsoever. All I can do is go, Heavenly Father, please allow me to serve you in any way you deem appropriate for my service to you in your kingdom. Thank you for saving me. Yeah, that should be our response. Okay. Does this not seem to be suspicious timing to anybody else? Here we're getting dragged into war that the Antichrist provoked through his agents in Washington, D.C., and that Americans have zero interest in. There will always be fights, but that doesn't mean we need to get involved every single time. See, I don't do the we anymore. I'm not part of that thing over there in Washington, D.C. And I am an American. I was born on the land. And I'm not a citizen of anything except heaven. I'm not a citizen of any of these fictional states out here floating above the land that are domiciled in some office in some capital building that was built by the corporation they represent. No, I'm none of that. Yeah. Don't want to be marked and identified as a citizen of or a resident of thing identified. Res in law is a thing. A resident is a thing identified. So I don't want to be a thing identified of any corporation. I would be a conscientious objector to that. And I am. Not only would I be, but I am and have been. Okay, aside from this, he goes on, the very real threat of death on American soil due to nuclear attack, EMP, cyber attacks, or perhaps attacks on our food supply system. We have the very real threat of our sons and friends being sent off to die on the battleground in Europe. And for what? He says we were warned against this, and he brings up George Washington. The great rule of conduct for us in regard to foreign nations is, in extending our commercial relations, to have with them as little political connection as possible. Well, that went out the window a long time ago, at least 120 years ago. Yeah, it went out the window. Europe has a set of primary interests which to us have none or very remote relation. Hence, she must be engaged in frequent controversies, the causes of which are essentially foreign to our concerns. Hence, therefore, it must be unwise in us to implicate ourselves by artificial ties in the ordinary vicissitudes of her politics or the ordinary combinations and collisions of her friendships or enmities. George Washington's farewell address. Yes, if only our nation would have heeded it a long time ago. But we've discussed prophecy. We're going to get to the prophecy reality worldview here in chapter 13. The seventh beast, or the second beast of that chapter, and the seventh beast enumerated in apocalyptic prophecy is that earth beast, which rises up out of the earth rather than the sea where the previous beasts rose up, which comes alongside and helps. And that's why, that's Washington, D.C., and that's why America, because Washington, D.C. represents the 50 states. Yes, we got hornswoggled. And you can read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil if you want to know how America got hornswoggled and finally, through two world wars, coming alongside and supporting the Antichrist rule and having the Antichrist implanted in our land by concentrating power there in Washington, D.C. That was her design. That's why we don't follow the words of George Washington. They got overthrown. But these were wise words from George. But it's not going back. Now, there is a little bit of a question about what finally happens to the earth beast, to the government. We know what happens. It gets obliterated when Christ returns. So that government over there under the control of the Antichrist in Washington, D.C., and everyone connected with it, will be destroyed upon Christ's return. At least we know that much. But what happens to the nations, the 50 states of the United States of America, the scripture is silent on, unless you read Old Testament prophecy. And you know that, as I was saying, going through Isaiah there, when the shoe fits, that's when you wear it. And there's a lot of prophecy over there that fits America, going through Isaiah. And so we can expect like judgment on this land for the like sin that is represented in that book. Okay, I had a list of topics that we were going to cover, so we're covering this topic and a lot more. Let's see what else I have here. So get ready for the draft anyway. If you're young, and maybe you don't have to, because I wouldn't want my daughters going over. My youngest daughter, who is 20 years old, would be fodder, cannon fodder, for the draft. Now, we'll have to see, because now I think they still have to change the law if they're going to draft women. But I don't want my grandsons going over either, because I have, my oldest grandson now is 17. My oldest granddaughter's 25. She's probably not beyond the draft. But my youngest grandson is 17. I mean, my oldest grandson is 17. So if they start this world war and start drafting men and women, I have several granddaughters and a grandson that would be draftable age within the year. So we don't want that to happen. And I don't want to fight the Antichrist wars. But now, if the fight comes to our continent, that's a different story. You know, we have to obey the Lord and fight if it comes to fight. If we have invaders in our land, we may have to fight. I may pick up arms and fight. I may be an old man, but I'm younger than most people my age. I can say that much anyway. And I have taken firearms training. It's been a while, but I took a whole weekend once and I learned a lot. Let me tell you, I'm glad I went through that weekend of training, but yeah, may have to start training again if it comes to it. And that's what a lot of Americans should start doing, is to start training, looking for training courses. Militia may not be a bad word anymore. Yeah. It may not be a bad word when we start to become invaded, because I don't know if that's going to happen. God has other ways of judging our nation, which we're under judgment right now. So whether we will be invaded or not, well, we will see. We are being invaded, actually, right now on our southern border. Over 1 million a year. And most of them, fighting age, young military age, fighting men. Yeah. Well, they may volunteer for the Antichrist. Yeah. So they'll probably offer them citizenship to join. I can see that happening easily. if they start a draft. Okay, that's enough on that topic. Let's see what else I got here. Okay. Oh, Hunter Biden's laptop. Well, I got a little bit to say about that. I believe this is coming out right now that they've saved it and they want to get it done while Hunter Biden's father is still in control of the government over there and the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. They simply want to get it out of the way before somebody else becomes president, because who knows who the next president going to be. I'm pretty sure it won't be Joe Biden or Kalama Lala Harris, because unless Joe Biden kicks the bucket between now and the next election, we'll see what happens there. But I believe that they're just getting it out of the way. They're running it through the Justice Department mill, and that way it'll be all said and done before the next president is elected, the next election. And I believe that's why it's happening now and why they have it coming out now. But you can see they're pretty much keeping a lid on it, but they have to let some stuff out, and they will go through the whole rigmarole. I don't know, Hunter Biden might even get 6 months in jail. Who knows? You know, and it'd probably be more fun than many people's lives, his jail sentence, like kind of like a Jeffrey Epstein type sentence, you know, what he got went back in the first decade of this century when they put him on faux trial. So that's all there is to that. Don't expect any more, because that's about what's going to happen. Okay, so there I prognosticated something that all it takes is a little common sense. Christian transhumanism is trending, and I found this a little interesting. There are no common points of belief between transhumanism and Christianity, but that doesn't stop the Christian transhumanism movement from throwing in together. The resulting rhetoric doesn't make sense to either side, nor to the public at large. And we'll talk briefly about that when we get back from some messages. And we'll jump into the other topics I listed on the notice sent out. Okay, you're listening to Nicholas Arthur, Prophecy Reality. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Isaiah 26:5, for he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low, even to the ground, he bringeth it even to the dust. Of course, that lofty city is the city that stands against the Almighty. And it isn't a locale. It's a spiritual city. And it's a spiritually evil city that he will bring down. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. Okay, we're looking at this article here from Technocracy News and Patrick Wood's site over there. So-called Christian transhumanism. Upon reading this article, I can only say that this is another Antichrist project, Christian transhumanism. You know, the Antichrist has a whole army of out here in the world at large, in every nation of the earth, to run all these little projects everywhere. Yeah, he knows how to deflect. He learned his lessons well from history. That head wound was hard to take, but believe me, it's fully healed now. Yes, and most people have no idea what I just said. Just very few can really call themselves Protestant today. Anyway, the so-called Christian transhumanism, or the attempt to blend the transhumanist agenda with the precepts of Christian theology, has been around for some time, our author says, but there has been a recent resurgence of interest in the project. The book, Religious Transhumanism and Its Critics, published in 2019, claims to offer first-hand testimony to the value of the transhumanist vision perceived by the religious mind. The volume includes contributions from a number of Christians. The Christians Transhumanist Association, formed in 2014, is actively dedicated to promoting transhumanism as a means of participating with God. Really? Yes, participating with God in the redemption, reconciliation, and renewal of the world. And to participate with God? Where did they find that in the Bible? Yeah, we know what God they're working with for the renewal of the world. Yes, not the world. Yes, well, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. There's your clue. The problem with these efforts is that the transhumanist worldview and the Christian faith are incompatible. Amen. One cannot be a Christian transhumanist any more than one can be a Christian Buddhist or a Christian Muslim. Transhumanism is a futuristic social movement. Its adherents believe that immortality is attainable in the corporeal world through the wonders of applied technology. The goal is to become H plus or more than human. Transhumanist proselytizers include academics like Oxford's Nick Bostrom, big tech gurus like Ray Kurzweil, and popularizers like 2016 presidential candidate Zoltan Istvan. They promise that the singularity is coming, the time when a crescendo of scientific advances will make the movement unstoppable, and transhumanists will transform themselves into super beings who can enjoy physical life without end. That's what I say to that. Yes, you know, I've been alive for now for a few more years, and I don't want any more mortality. Yeah, I'm done with it. I don't want to be stuck with mortality for it forever. You know, because that's why, you know, God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden and put those angels there to guard the tree of life, because he didn't want them to be stuck with decrepit and, you know, polluted, sinful humanity forever, you know. So that's why it's incompatible with Christianity, any form of transhumanism. So yeah, leave all that fantasy on Star Trek where it belongs. Yeah, even Star Trek didn't obtain that yet, because they were still dying. Yeah. So anyway, that article's there at Technocracy News if you're interested in it. Another item here that we'll jump into is briefly, yes, you've heard of the International Court of Justice, and big names here, and this is actual news. Yeah. Also, this is also at Technocracy News. Gates, Fauci, Daszak charged with genocide in the International Criminal Court. Let's see if I can find a little bit here to, don't fall for the propaganda stating that Gates, Fauci, and Daszak are just normal people doing benevolent work for the world. Legal challenges are being brought all over the world that they have crossed the Rubicon into the darkness of crimes against humanity. And they absolutely have. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I sat through 5 sessions in the international. What court was that? Oh, I talked about it last week. I don't have the article up here anymore. But I think it's not coming to me. I'll figure it out later. But anyway, even our good friend Patrick Wood took part in that in those sessions. As a lot of information came out, and there's a lot more that I found since then that would be applicable to the case against these men. In a stunning 46-page legal filing into the International Criminal Court on December 6, an intrepid attorney and 7 applicants accused Anthony Fauci, Peter Daszak, Melinda Gates, William Gates III, and 12 others of numerous violations of the Nuremberg Code. These included various crimes against humanity and war crimes as defined by the Rome Statutes, Article 6, 7, 8, 15, 21, and 53. Besides the 4 kingpins, 12 others were named, including the CEOs of the leading drug corporations and health leaders held accountable for the United Kingdom. Albert Bourla, CEO of Pfizer, Stefan Bancel, Moderna, CEO of AstraZeneca, CEO of Johnson & Johnson, Tedros, General of the World, Director General of the WHO, Boris Johnson, UK Prime Minister, the UK Chief Medical Advisor, former UK Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, current UK Secretary of State, for health and social care, UK Chief Executive of Medicines and Healthcare Products, and President of the Rockefeller Foundation, and President of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. And definitely check out that article there. And you can find those sessions I was talking about at grandjury.org, I believe, or grand-jury.org. And, or you can go to Odyssey and just type in Grand Jury, and all of the sessions are recorded there if you want to check that out. So that, I believe that was grand-jury.org. Definitely want to check that. They're very long sessions. There were six. And the first one was the shortest. All of the rest went up 4 to 5 hours long. And yes, I actually sat through most of them. I did fast forward to some parts, things I already knew, which was quite a bit, but there was a lot of stuff I didn't know anyway. And it's a good refresher course there. And that's those hearings, I guess, are the basis upon which a lot of the case has been built upon that has been brought into the International Court. Of course, what do we expect? Do we really expect anything to happen here? Let's see, what does he say about that? Following the Nazi atrocities committed during World War II, the war crimes trials were held in Nuremberg, Germany. Following those, a set of principles was developed, which ultimately led to the development of the Nuremberg Code, which has, in fact, actually been violated by these criminals as these wickedly evil men. And I guess that's all I'm going to say about that. All that information is there, and you can check it out for yourself. I'm sure there are links in that article at technocracy.news. So, and if you're not subscribed to his newsletter or at technocracy.news, that is, they email you with a list of whenever they put a new post up or a new article. Good stuff to have around. Okay, now we come to it. Our 2030 march to the mark of the beast. And we have here Debevo, I'm not sure I can say that name. Debevois. And Plimpton discussed the policy debate over developing a U.S. central bank digital currency. For much of the past century, consumers and commercial end users could access the Federal Reserve balance sheet directly in only one way, by holding physical currency or coin issued or distributed by a Federal Reserve bank member. All of the banks, and see, because the Federal Reserve has a monopoly, and you have to be a member bank of the Federal Reserve in order to open a bank in the United States. They stole our rights. See, and this was not a right that was given to the federal government, but it was passed in the Federal Reserve Act, the law that never was, and that was never lawfully ratified. If you read the law that never was, you would know that. So that's the fact of history that we have to live with from over 100 years ago. 1913 to be exact, the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, a major step forward, the final, like the death knell of the Antichrist stranglehold in Washington, D.C. and on the 50 states through the power that is centralized there. A major drawback, however, is that the Federal Reserve banknotes and coins are bearer instruments that must be physically held and transferred in order to effect transactions. Although the United States also offers digital money in the form of deposit balances at Federal Reserve banks, only commercial banks are directly eligible to access this money through Federal Reserve Bank master accounts. Due to a variety of factors, including declining cash use, and I have to add, please use cash, as much cash as you can. Pay as many of your bills with cash as you can. Buy as much of your food and necessities of life with cash as you can. When you go through the store and you're putting something on your credit card and the cashier says, "Would you like some cash back?" You say, "Yes." Put some cash in your pocket. And, especially in these days when we see that they're purposely tearing down the economy. some cash in your pocket may come in handy when the cards and the numbers and stuff don't work. Because war can do that if war is coming. And or even an EMP, which one of the articles I mentioned discusses. Okay, so due to a variety of factors, including declining cash use, competitive pressure from outside of the regulatory perimeter, technological innovation, and increasing consumer demand for innovative payment methods following the COVID-19 pandemic. Yes, is there increasing consumer demand for direct digital money use? Yeah. Central banks, including the Federal Reserve System, are exploring digital central bank money that could be made widely available to the general public, a CBDC. So you probably heard it already, but you're hearing that acronym quite a bit these days, CBDC. If you're paying any attention to the news, CBDC is the thing, and it's the thing that they're working very hard on. I have another name for the CBDC. I call it the mark of the beast, the monetary mark of the beast. That's what it is. As of early February, around 100 of the world's 195 countries have been exploring a CBDC at various stages. While the vast majority of jurisdictions are still in early stages of research or in the process of developing proofs of concept, some jurisdictions have launched high-profile pilot programs. In April 2020, China became the first major economy to pilot a digital currency that it hoped would be widely adopted by the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. As of February, the digital renminbi, called the CNY, called ECNY, I don't know what that stands for, but had over 100 million individual users and billions of yuan in transaction. Yeah, need I say that again? And okay, well, Communist China has over a billion people, 1.3 or 4 billion people. So that's a lot of people. And let's see, as of February, the digital renminbi had over 100 million individual users and billions of yuan in transactions. So you can see it's at the very early stages in China right now. And of course, don't be fooled. The Antichrist rules China, as I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Wherever the totalitarian tyranny over the individual is the greatest, is where the Antichrist has the greatest amount of authority or influence in a nation. That's why we're becoming more totalitarian by the day here in America. Yeah. The Federal Reserve has been investigating a U.S. CBDC for years, though development is still exploratory, with no immediate plans for a pilot program. Well, not sure about that, but we'll see. In a long-awaited discussion paper published in January of 2022, the discussion paper, the Federal Reserve Board, the FRB, yeah, that's that foreign banking cabal that took over our U.S. Treasury, in 1913, examines the pros and cons of a potential U.S. CBDC. Although the FRB is careful to disclaim that the paper is not intended to advance any specific policy outcome. Really? It's like the Social Security card says on it, not to be used for identification. Then what is it to be used for? To wipe your butt? Yeah, I don't think so. Yes. Yeah, they could lie to you right to your face. And so obviously. Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, is not intended to signal that the Federal Reserve will make any imminent decisions about the appropriateness of issuing a U.S. CBDC. It offers insight into what the FRB sees as potential benefits and risks of a U.S. CBDC, as well as must-have features that may inform its eventual design. So it is eventual, and that's what you should get from this, from that paragraph there. It is eventual. Yeah, it's eventual design. Potential benefits and risks to offer insight to what the FRB sees as potential risks of a CBDC, as well as must-have features. Must-have features. Must-have eventual design. Those are your key words for that paragraph. Shortly after, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston issued a paper on February 3rd, 2022, the Project Hamilton White Paper. In partnership with the MIT Digital Currency Initiative, that provided results of initial design and technical research for a potential U.S. CBDC, Congress has also held numerous hearings on the values and opportunities, of a CBDC for the United States. So you can see the push is continually going forward on every front. And it is the 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast, which they're calling us, because they're not going to call it the Mark of the Beast in these wonderful articles. And I'm going to put a link to this article here, copy, in the chat room. So otherwise you have to find it for yourself if you're not listening live or in the chat room there. And so you can check that out later. After the broadcast, but it's at columbia.edu, at the columbia.edu website if you want to check it out. Okay, shortly after, I read that the Project Hamilton white paper, you can look that up too. I looked that up, and but I'm sticking with this article, here from columbia.edu. Below we summarize the key features of the U.S. CBDC policy debate and the current state of progress, focusing on the discussion paper. We also review the factors that may impact the potential design of a U.S. CBDC and preview upcoming developments. The FRB, the Federal Reserve Board, has requested comments on its paper by May 20th, 2022. 120 days from the date of publication. So that's 6 months. That's right, 6 months from the date of publication. They want comments. You want to send in some comments? Yeah, well, you can find the white paper yourself. The links are in this article. Anyway, we'll be updating this post with additional details. Check back for more updates, the paper says here. Okay, discussion paper. As mentioned above, although the FRB does not purport to advocate, for a particular policy outcome or CBDC design, the discussion paper asserts that any U.S. CBDC must be privacy protected, intermediated, widely transferable, and identity verified. So this is it. These are the four things that they say it must be. One, privacy protected. Okay. That is privacy protected. Your account will be privacy protected from other individual account holders, but not from the government or any agency. Because if you post something that they don't like on social media or participate on something they deem unlawful, or suddenly ex post facto deem you a criminal for, well, your privacy's out the window, because they will watch, they will see. And we're going to continue this in the next hour.
Visit crosstheborder.org, crossstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Isaiah 26:7. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou, most upright, dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul I have desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And when we left, we were talking about a CBDC discussion paper here. And we'll back up here and start right here. As mentioned above, discussion paper, as mentioned above, the FRB does not purport to advocate for particular policy outcome or CBDC design, except what they've written in the paper. They're going to tell you exactly what they're advocating for here below. The discussion paper asserts that any U.S. CBDC must be privacy protected, intermediated, widely transferable, and identity verified. First, privacy protected refers to the need for the U.S. CBDC to strike a balance between privacy rights of consumers and the transparency needed to deter criminal activity. Yes, we're all criminals, so we must be all treated like criminals. You are not innocent and proven guilty in the CBDC system. Yeah. That's one thing that's going to go by the wayside. Just like those truckers in Canada. Yeah. They were not proven guilty by a jury of their peers. They weren't, they just had their accounts cut off because the dictator up there, the World Economic Forum's young global leader, Justin Trudeau, said so. Said, do it. Yeah, look into their bank accounts. Look at the people who gave, who lawfully made donations or participated in a lawful demonstration, because we ex post facto made them criminals. Now we can cut off. Yeah, that's how it works. That's how the mark of the beast will work. That's exactly what they're saying. That's the balance that they're going to strike. Yeah. So privacy protected refers to the need for the U.S. CBDC to strike a balance. strike a balance. You know, either you have rights or you don't. You know, it's like being pregnant. Either you are or you aren't. Yeah. But to strike a balance between privacy rights of the consumer and the transparency needed to deter criminal activity. So it used to be everyone was innocent until proven guilty. And then if someone was suspected of a crime, then you would have to get a court order to peer into their, yeah, but no longer. Yeah, if you say the wrong thing on social media now, or if you give to the wrong charity, or take place in the wrong protest, yeah, because yeah, they don't like protestants at all. If you protest, well, they think any protest is too much. Okay, next. Due to FRB concerns regarding its authority under the Federal Reserve Act to authorize Federal Reserve accounts for individuals. See, as an individual, you can't get an account directly with the Federal Reserve Bank. You have to go through one of its intermediary member banks. Understood. So, due to its concerns regarding its authority under the Federal Reserve Act to authorize Federal Reserve accounts for individuals, any U.S. CBDC may need to be intermediated, which meaning they're going to keep all these banks out here alive online, and you will have to go through them to participate as you do now with the bank's accounts you have now. So basically, really, that nothing's going to change. Yeah. Nothing has changed. They've already done. They just want it all digital. Central bank digital currency. Okay. May need to be intermediated, offered through accounts or digital wallets provided by private sector entities, including potentially commercial banks, regulated non-bank financial service providers like PayPal or other online providers with Federal Reserve accounts. So PayPal has a Federal Reserve account. Let's see, does GiveSendGo and that other one that stole the trucker's money, they have Federal Reserve accounts? Likely. See, there's no escaping it already. They're just going to make it more of what they have been making it over the last 40 to, or last 100 years, really. They've been, yeah. In order for, I think it was the last 40 years, when did they do the know your customer rule? Because it used to be, you could walk into a bank with money and you could put it in an account. And just give them a name and an address or any identification that you wanted. But you would need that identification or and your signature, and you would need that signature to draw on that account. But now you have to have government ID to get a bank account. And if you don't have government ID or government authorized ID that's current, you can't get a bank account, which I can't today because the government won't give me any ID anymore. That's because I took a stand 25 or 30 years ago against participating in an unlawful scheme. Yeah, and I've discussed that before. I've come out of that Mark of the Beast numbering and ID system. Yes, Mark means ID of the Beast. Okay, next. So we discussed intermediated. So we know that means that everything has to be intermediated according to the Federal Reserve Act. In order for a potential U.S. CBDC to be useful as a means of payment, the paper recommends that it be readily transferable as distinct from the broader concept of interoperability between customers and different intermediaries. You know, that's like the checking system and the credit card system, that they're readily transferable, but they're interoperability. That's what we're using now. We're using interoperability between checking accounts, bank accounts, credit cards, and all that stuff, because they're all connected with bank accounts and so forth. So between customers and different, so they want it to be readily transferable. I don't know what that means. It means faster and better directly between accounts, perhaps. And the fourth thing is identity verified. That's the know your customer rule that they put into operation, I believe, early in this century. I think it was, in the 90s, right around the turn of the century sometime. I forget when that happened. Any U.S. CBDC would need to be designed to comply with anti-money laundering and terrorist financing. This goes back to one, to the number one, too, which this means that you have no privacy rights. Because this goes to privacy rights. Any U.S. CBDC would need to be designed to comply with anti-money laundering and terrorist financing laws. Because all of those people in America and Canada that gave to the truckers' protest up there, well, they were financing terrorists. That's why they could have their bank accounts shut down if they were in Canada. Because the dictator up there in Canada, that's what they did. And which would require the CBDC to be identity verified. So you can't have a bank account and just have money in it, and because they've had password accounts, private accounts in some countries and stuff. They don't want anyone to have any privacy at all. So you have to be identity verified. They have to connect a warm-blooded living body, biometrically or otherwise, with some kind of ID, identification, mark of the beast system. CBDC intermediaries must be able to verify the identity of holders. Well, that's already in place. And they're just saying, well, we're going to carry it through. They basically are using a digital monetary system, as we discussed earlier, as your bank account has nothing but digits in it. There's no money or cash or silver standing there for certificates, as there used to be in America when banks were private before the Federal Reserve Act. Anybody could open up a bank and write checks, and they would have the money, either the cash, the silver and gold certificates in the bank, or the cash of the person or coin as actual deposits in the bank, and then people could draw a draft on that account. Okay, they call them checks today, but checks are just an extension through the Federal Reserve of their Federal Reserve notes. When you write a check, you're actually writing a Federal Reserve note, because you have a license through your account in the member bank to write a check on those Federal Reserve funds or Federal Reserve notes or whatever digits in that account. Okay. So identity verified, CBDC intermediaries must be able to verify the identity of holders, the know your customer rule. And that's why they become stricter all the time. That's why I can't get a bank account. That's why if someone writes a check, and you can't take any check and put it in your account, because they have to know all parties to the checks now have to be identifiable. So you can't have any third party checks. You have to have a special account for that, as very few do. So the discussion paper also states that the FRB, Federal Reserve Board, does not intend to proceed with issuing CBDC without clear support from the executive branch and from Congress, ideally in the form of a specific authorizing law. And I believe that Biden just gave that to them recently through a executive order looking going along with the CBDC. It was in the news a couple weeks ago, I believe. The executive order by the Biden regime, which it's not just Joe Biden. He works for the Antichrist. His whole cabinet works for the Antichrist. They're all the agents of the Antichrist. Get a clue if you haven't figured that out already. Okay. Advantages of a U.S. CBDC. Okay, the discussion paper contends that a U.S. CBDC could offer the general public access to digital money that is free from credit and liquidity risk. Yeah, right. Free from credit and liquidity risk. What is credit and liquidity risk? What does that mean? You want money that's free from credit and liquidity risk. Okay, liquidity risk. What is liquidity? Okay, that means that it'll still buy, the $3.20 will still buy a gallon of gas next year. That's a risk, isn't it? And free from credit. Free from credit and liquidity risk. I'm not sure I understand it. I need a financial expert to, maybe we'll figure it out if we keep reading. Next advantage they list here in their bullet points. Offer a safer deposit substitute to other products being developed by banks and other actors, including stable coins. Is that coins that are in a stable somewhere, like my horses? Stable coins? Ready and raring to go? Hey! Okay. Yeah. Offer a safer deposit substitute to other products being developed. Safer? I'm not sure. I'm not sure Federal Reserve notes are even safer, or that a U.S. CBDC could be safer than Bitcoin. Maybe a little bit safer, a little less erratic than something like Bitcoin or other blockchain currencies. It says banks and other actors, including stable coins. Okay, level the playing field in payment innovation for private sector firms of all sizes, big or small. Yeah, all sizes. You get to play with digital money. Of course they want, they're acting like these are advantages for you, when the whole thing is just to gain total control over everything. So you can see all of these advantages give them total control. But they're going to say, oh, well, look at all the advantages you'll have. You'll be like a big guy, even if you're small. Okay, improve cross-border payments. Everything they're doing will be an improvement. Yes, of course they're going to say that. Preserve the dominant international role of the U.S. dollar. Well, I guess that's kind of important to them, but I'm not sure how important that is to the Antichrist. I think he really wants one world digital currency, and he doesn't want it to be the U.S. dollar. Of course, since he controls the U.S. dollar, I'm not sure it matters that much. But we'll see how this thing turns out. It'll be all the same, no matter what they call it or how they denominate it, whether it's yuans or dollars. Or pesos, or whatever. See, promote financial inclusion. Yes, just did that make you feel good? Financial inclusion. By facilitating access to digital payments. Enable rapid, that's what they're saying, that you can just use your stupid phone, or wave your, card, or your, you can already do all that, can't you? But I think we're already pretty deep into this. Okay, promote financial inclusion by facilitating access to digital payments, enabling rapid and cost-effective payment of taxes and delivery of federal payments. So take from one, give to another. They're already doing that too, aren't they? This is going to make it work better. Nobody will escape the web of the Mark of the Beast financial system. So it's like I said, they create money out of thin air, yet they want to tax you to pay for the government, to pay you a fair share. Of course, unless you don't work and you're just on welfare, then you don't have to pay anything at all. Yeah. So those that are the most productive will pay the most because they're the only ones producing anything. Because everything must be produced. Everything of any value coming out of the earth by the labor of man must be produced by man. And those are the people that pay for everything. Yeah. That's the truth. Can't get around that, but they don't want you to even think that way. So, again, promote financial inclusion by facilitating access to digital payments, enabling rapid, cost-effective payment of taxes and delivery of federal payments, including wages and tax refunds. See, now I think if it was going to be a fair system, they would tax no individual. They would just tax all transactions equally. Every transaction in their system could finance the whole world, New World Order, with a very small 0.5% tax on every transaction going to the Antichrist. But they don't want that, see, because that does not give them inquisitional power. Okay? They don't just want the money, because they can create all the money they want. They want totalitarian control over you, your individual soul. That's what it's all about. If they just wanted to, see, and that would get rid of a lot of crime if just every transaction in their digital monetary system and just leave all other transactions alone. Nope. We gotta have Inquisition. The Antichrist has loved Inquisition from his very founding. They would inquire. And they want to inquire into everything. And, the Inquisitions. That's why America was founded with the laws that it was founded with. And that's why it's even written in the Constitution that there shall be no direct tax, meaning between the individual man, woman, or child, and the federal government. Because they did not want Inquisition by a central power, and especially a huge central power like the one that they had in Western Europe during the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist. They had a central inquisitorial power that ruled and reigned terror over the entire Western European continent and inquired right down to the individual. And boy, guilty or not, once the Inquisitor started his case against you, you were likely doomed, because every man has committed some kind of sin that he can be prosecuted for, especially if you're looking at the sins written in a paper by a man, not by God. Yes, because they love to play God, and that's really what it's about, is total, totalitarian rule, even over every single individual on the planet, which is totally unnecessary if they just want peace and allow people to have liberty and let the police do, you know, investigate real crimes, like crimes against humanity, murder, genocide, and theft and other things like that. But no, they're not interested in that. They want you to think a certain way. And if you think the wrong way, well, Inquisitions can bring up something whereby they can punish you as they deem appropriate. So, that's it. Promote financial inclusion by facilitating access to digital payments, enabling rapid and cost-effective payment of taxes and delivery of federal welfare, including wages and tax refunds. Yeah, had to add that. Yes, you know, you get your wages quickly. And they're working on that one. Extend public access to central bank money, currently only available directly to the public by way of Federal Reserve notes, e.g. paper money. And we'll pick it up there when I get back from these messages. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality weekly edition. I'll be back. Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist's alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth, this book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy, reality, worldview weekly edition. And we are discussing CBDC today. That's Central Bank Digital Currency for the United States of America, which the pretender in chief there, they'll call it the Biden regime of the Antichrist, issued an executive order about several weeks ago in response to this very white paper that we're reading about here, because he was asked to do that. The Federal Reserve, the executive branch, asked them, asked the executive branch to say, hey, we want to do this. And they said, we want to do it. Of course they did. Okay, so we're talking about the advantages, according to them, of course, of a U.S. CBDC. This is the hard sell, I guess. This is the best they could come up with, because all of its quite oxymoronic as far as I'm concerned. But our final one said, extend public access to central bank money currently only available directly through public to the public via Federal Reserve notes, e.g. paper money. And once they do away with the paper money, see, they want to, they'll do an addition to paper money at first, but then after that, they will have a time limit when they want to do away with paper money altogether, which I hope that day never comes, but we'll see. They will give you so much time to turn in your paper money, to convert it into CBDC. That'll be the death of your privacy altogether and your money, your money. See, because the law, the common law says that possession is 9/10 of the law. And with paper money, even the Federal Reserve note, you can hold it in your hand. You've got possession. You got possession of whatever value is in that paper. But if they say, like they did with the gold, you know, almost 100 years ago, Americans were told to hold, to turn in all their gold money, all their gold bullion, every bit of it, because currency that was gold, like if you had a, you know, a $20 gold piece, that is considered currency or, you know, bullion value, and you were supposed to turn it all in by law, by executive order. Not passed by Congress, of course, but by executive order under severe penalty of law. And so Americans, for the most part, lined up and handed those in. Of course, they exclude numismatic value coins, like really old coins that have a certain percentage over bullion or currency, and they exclude those. So we'll see if they do that again. I've discussed this before, I think a month or so ago, about gold confiscation, and it may be something that will happen. So, and I don't think they'll ever confiscate silver, because silver is too much of industrial metal. It's more of an industrial metal than it is a monetary metal these days. Even gold is becoming more of an industrial with computers, because gold is very necessary for a lot of connections. So that they can be connections that don't fail, like slots on computers have to be gold plated at least in order to keep your computers working. If you wonder why there's gold in all those computer boards and on all those connections, that's the reason it's there. But I believe that gold may be confiscatable. But when they take your paper money away, you will have lost your money. You don't own your money anymore, because you only own what you hold in your hand. That's all you have. If possession is 9/10 of the law, and let's go back to the truckers in Canada. They had no possession of their money. It was in the banks. The banks had possession of it. So therefore, they couldn't hold on to it. Yeah. So if they outlaw paper money, or they say they give you a time limit to turn it in, and if people still using it after that time limit, well, they'll just reduce it and make severe penalties. And we'll see how that works out. Because countries have passed laws when they change the money after a financial collapse and going through mega inflation or hyperinflation, they'll come out and change the money to start over again. And if you have any that's of any value, you have so much time to turn it in or lose what little value is left in the currency. But since we're going into hyperinflation, that'll probably be taken care of for them. Okay, so there's the advantages. How do you like those advantages? I didn't like any of them. I don't think any of those things. I already have all of those things. You know, it's just, you know, improve cross-border payments. Well, you know what? I'll get it in 5 seconds instead of 3 minutes or something. I could care less. I'm not in that big of a hurry. You know, my life isn't that short. I mean, it may be, but it's not going to make any difference. You know, like if I die during a 3-minute transaction, I didn't get my money before I died. Like I said, I'm not in that big of a hurry. But okay, so now we come to their list of potential risks of a U.S. CBDC. Yeah. Now, this is where they make their open admissions instead of veiled admissions, because the what they called advantages are just veiled admissions to your risk and your loss of liberty. Yes. So here they're going to openly discuss. The discussion paper also identifies several potential risks, but notes that these could be addressed by design choices, e.g., by ensuring that a U.S. CBDC is not interest-bearing. Not interest-bearing. Okay. Well, none of your Federal Reserve notes and your paper money is interest-bearing, is it? And they've even limited that. Your bank account is not interest-bearing anymore. Remember when you used to put money in a bank and earn interest? Some people actually lived on the interest in their bank accounts. Well, that's all gone. That's why all the pension plans are failing, because there's nothing interest-bearing anymore. It costs you money. You know, they have negative interest. That's what it's called. If you have a bank account that doesn't bear interest, it's negative interest because they're charging you to keep your money in the bank. Though they call it bank fees, it's still negative interest. You're losing money or just holding money. I mean, you have negative interest on the cash in your pocket. Because of the hyperinflation or even not hyperinflation over the past 40 years, you've lost money just by keeping cash in your pocket, worse than a bank account. Yeah, that's why they don't want you to have gold and silver. That's why they stole it all. But they now allow you to, yeah, they allowed you, after they took the dollar off gold, they allowed the American people to now buy gold. Yeah. You can even buy it from the Treasury. I don't think they're running out of blanks now. So you kind of have a hard time getting your hands on real money like gold and silver coins. Okay. So let's look at their bullet points here. The first one is, of their potential risks, could fundamentally change the structure of the U.S. financial system, e.g., an interest-bearing CBDC that functions as a substitute for a commercial bank or other private money could reduce the aggregate amount of deposits in the banking system, increase bank funding costs, and reduce credit availability. Huh? See, this is where you need a finance degree to figure out what they're trying to say here. Could fundamentally change the structure of the U.S. financial system. Interest-bearing CBDC. So they're saying an interest-bearing CBDC, that's a bad thing. Because they're just digits, you know, in an account. Yes, and I've heard worse things, like putting time limits on money. It expires, like, you know, like lettuce. People have called money lettuce. Yeah. But it kind of been like lettuce. It spoils, but this money would have, some of it would have an expiration date on it. So they don't want any interest-bearing CBDC. That would foul up the works. That's what they're saying. That's the potential risk if they do what they don't plan on doing. So this is just, you know, them blowing smoke, up your rear end. An interest-bearing CBDC. These are like a red herring. Think, oh, it would be bad if we did this. This is a potential risk. We're definitely not going to do that. You're not going to be able to earn any interest on your CBDC. Next, could impact the safety and stability of the financial system. The ability to freely convert assets into CBDC would make runs on financial firms more severe. But that's exactly what they want you to do. They want you to convert your assets into CBDC. So, you mean, could cause runs? I don't think, I think these are all red, so far I believe these are just red herring potential risks. They're just giving you something to make them think that these are risks instead of what they called advantages, which are really the risks to you. Because any advantage to you is a risk to them. Any advantage to them is a risk to you. Yeah. So what is a potential risk to them would be an advantage to you. So they're not going to allow that. You don't have to worry about it. Could affect how the FRB affects monetary policy. Demand for a U.S. CBDC could place downward pressure on reserves. What reserves? You mean the digits in the accounts? In which turn could make it difficult for the FRB to implement its ample reserves. I think they call ample reserves. Don't they call that? What do they call that these days? They got a word for that. The helicopter money policy. You know what I'm talking about. Can't think of the term for it right off the top of my head. But demand for CBDC could place. See, and this is, like I said, another red herring. A risk. Oh, that's not a risk to us. Yeah. In which turn could, through the setting of administered rates, interest on reserves, and overnight repurchase agreement facility offering rates, rather than actively managing the supply of bank reserves. Okay. Next, would need to strike an appropriate balance between privacy and transparency, and we already talked about that. They had that up there in the advantages. Yes. Yes. Currently only it was, yeah. I'm not going to backtrack here. Okay. Next, would need to strike an appropriate balance between privacy and transparency, meaning you have no privacy and, the only thing your account would be private from is other people who they don't think have any business having the power to see everything the way that their God and his authorized agents get to peer into your private matters. Next, potential risks would need to be resilient to operational disruptions and cybersecurity risks, which may be difficult because CBDC network could potentially have more entry points than existing payment services. Yeah. I don't believe them. I mean, they have a lot of theft in the system as it is, but they don't care. I mean, if it's authorized theft, okay, authorized theft to their agents, well, that's okay. It's just when unauthorized people break in and take advantage of the system by creating digits or moving digits from one account to another, that, yes, you will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law if you're not authorized to steal. That's the way it goes. Just ask the truckers. In Canada, were the banks authorized to steal from them? Yes. So the security risk, the only security risk they're worried about is unauthorized theft. Yes, it's like unauthorized. Printing of money, let's see. Okay, observations. Token-based and account-based systems. And, there's a whole lot more. Role of intermediaries, partnership with academia, other use cases for CBDC, critics of the payment system. Yeah, I think that we might want to look at that. See, I would be a critic. Yeah. Okay. Critics of current payment infrastructure have long noted that upgrading the U.S. banking and payment system to enhance for interoperability and open bank standards would require major upgrades to the existing technology stack. Legacy payment systems, including ACH, electronic fund transfer, and other interbank transfer networks, have not been updated in decades. insufficiencies were highlighted by COVID-19. Yes, what a dandy, handy operation they have there. The existing legacy payment systems prevented banks from delivering welfare aid efficiency. Yeah. Yeah, to you and me, or to the small people. But they didn't have any problem giving a PPP to all the large corporations and even Planned Parenthood, which was told to give their billions back, but they refused. Could you get away with that? I don't think so. Welfare inefficiently, especially to under and unbanked Americans. Yeah, that would be moi, an unbanked American. I have no bank account in my own name. Delays in payments cause consumers to draw down on empty accounts, triggering overdraft fees. An efficient real-time blockchain-based CBDC could be an alternative solution that resolves time delays and prevents fees. So they're saying that those extra fees they charge you because of time overlaps, which probably very few of them are, they probably add up pretty well for the banks anyway. So they're saying, yeah, that could cause more problems. Oh, less problems? I don't know. Sounds like they have that one in the wrong, that bullet, in the wrong bullet point there. Oh, that's, they're saying that that is their solution. Okay, next. While the Federal Reserve Board has been developing its own real-time interbank clearing and settlement rail called FedNow, a CBDC may render the innovation obsolete, as a CBDC could allow users to access tokens without a bank account and also take advantage of certain innovations like smart contract programming. The target release date for FedNow is 2023. However, the potential for a CBDC to overshadow or replace FedNow depends on regulator appetite for a CBDC, availability of a CBDC for retail versus wholesale payments, and the risks of a CBDC product. Well, I think you pretty much get the gist there of the entire system, a nice overview of what we're looking at with a monetary-based system. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But I think that they believe the best way to push it forward and to institute it is to crash the current system, which we can see that they're working very hard on. If you think Bumbling Joe over there, in the White House in Washington, D.C., is just bumbling, making mistakes, and causing all this trouble just because he doesn't know what he's doing, you got another thing coming, because it is all purposely being done. You cannot believe for a minute that everything being that is allowed and that is happening on purpose. When Barack Obama was campaigning for president, I remembered him saying that he was going to double the cost of electricity. And people still voted for this idiot, right? Well, he wasn't an idiot. Because he actually did it. He doubled the cost of electricity in his two terms under the Antichrist Biden regime. Oh, Biden regime. The Obama regime. Still the same regime in office. They just swapped places. Yeah, you better believe that Obama's still up there. He may run again. Who knows? They may put him up again. Don't be surprised if they do. Because, you know, he can run again. You can only not have more than, it says, 10 years consecutively. Which means you can come back, you know, after you sit out. As long as it's not consecutive. And he could have two more terms. I hadn't thought of that before, but because I was wondering who they would bring back. Because nobody wants Lala. Yeah, that people hate her more now than they hated her before. Very sad, very sad. That woman is so despised and hated, you'd think that she would fall on her knees and repent to God for mercy of some sort. Yeah. Okay, well, let me check the chat room here. No, everybody's just so enamored and hypnotized by what I'm bringing forth today. There, nobody has a word to say. Anyway, it's enough, isn't it? It's coming, but, you know, as God's people, we have nothing to fear. If we are of his elect, even if they kill us, no matter what the result, these are exciting and interesting times that we live in. And I'm glad to be here at the end of the world with all of you. And what a privilege to be able to see Christ comes, if I'm able to. If I'm able to see him come, I will see him come. And I hope it's sooner than, you know, I've calculated, because I'm sure my calculation's off. That's why I haven't really pinned it down to a year, but I say about 2055. And as you can see, as I told you all, I was born in 1953, so next year will be my big 7-0, my 70 and 10. And yeah, I may not live that long, and I may. I don't know. Or he may come in 2045, for all I know. Yeah, I just don't know. But there's nothing more important than that you make sure that you are one of God's elect. And if you aren't, or you don't know that you are, make sure that you are. So may the Almighty bless you and keep you all as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.